In your face. Campervan, an Ozploitation horror musical, is happening for Melbourne Fringe. Geraldine Quinn is the creator, joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Welcome indeed. Thank you for having me.
You brought a plastic axe in.
I brought a plastic axe in. It was just, look, it's a busy time. It's pre-Fringe. We're all, you know, working, we're here in community radio. Melbourne's a lifeblood of community radio in general across the board. We're busy and I have to get somebody to weather my plastic axe as a prop for the horror musical that I've taken it upon myself to create.
And I love the content warning for it. Alcohol use, drug references, drug use, murder, simulated blood and staged violence.
Yeah, there might be, yeah. Yes, there's definitely a lot of murders and there's a lot of references to drug use, but there's also a very sobering message from one of the characters about taking control of any substance abuse issues that you may have.
What's it about?
Well, so the plot, basically I was very inspired by both B-movies and people who just would make things because they had a camera, which is a very kind of Gen X sort of, maybe elder millennial kind of a vibe. Got a camera. It's the era of the auteur. We'll just make a film. So it's about a bunch of friends who went into the bush decided to make a slasher film because they happened to have a camcorder. One of them met a very sticky end. They met again 10 years later, decide to finish the film, and then they all start meeting very sticky ends. But who's doing all the slashing? You'll have to come to the show to find out, but also a musical.
It's kind of a metaphor for the times, right? This kind of, you know, Australiana thing of the camper van, but then the horror story. And it's kind of like we're living in that era where like a political horror story is kind of unfolding. And so in some ways your show, even though it's nothing about the rise of One Nation, it's kind of almost like a metaphor for it.
Do you know what's funny? It's technically a Gen X bunch of friends and it's taking place in 2008. So 10 years early was 98. And I just put a Pauline Hanson reference in, only fleeting, don't worry, don't let it put you off. But I just kind of was like, oh, hang on, let me just check what was she doing in 2008? It's so depressing to just sort of go, oh, you just formed the party. Oh, and you broke up with your partner. Oh, why are we still here 18 years later? But yeah, that's just so amusing that you mentioned her name.
And you kind of think, well, how did we get here? You know, like how is she attractive all of a sudden?
I don't know. I mean, I think though the fact that I've decided to create my first musical in a fringe festival and it's independent when all these musicals are kind of shutting down and we're in such a cost of living crisis, I think that parallel to what you're saying, that there's definitely a driver in creating work because you want to create work. And the fact that I've sort of set it a little bit in the past, like not trying to be nostalgic, but also exploring through the musical. It is a comedy, by the way, people. Exploring through that nostalgia can, my tagline is nostalgia is such a killer. The harking back to something these group of friends think that they had then, and they did have it then, but not recognizing that things have moved on is also sort of part of the themes. And that's, I think, reflective of how difficult it is to make stuff in 2026 as well, in terms of like creating art in an industry that's struggling anyway. And when globally in the Western world, we're so much more kind of like stage capitalism, and it's all about, but you've got to get the money and you've got to, but you've also got to sometimes just take a big swing at something and find your audience.
You've kind of made a career though, you know, of going against the grain, haven't you?
Have I? Is that why I have no money? Is that what it is?
But you make it work.
I think the most important thing for me, like as a writer, whether it's a songwriter or a musical or writing anything, I reckon you have to know what you want to say, and you really have to want to do it in this kind of a climate. And this was, I was talking to somebody about this recently, why doing a musical, I've done solo cabarets for years. I've done like 8 years of, 8 albums that I've produced myself, 20 years of solo cabarets. And I think as a writer, I wanted to push myself in that avenue. And I've discovered how many roadblocks to writing something bigger were in my head. And it wasn't until actually just starting to do it that you start to go, oh, there's a way that I can take a step forward in this direction. Maybe that's a metaphor for trying to get out of sticky situations as well. I don't know.
You've created this show, but tell us about the performance.
What do you mean, tell you about the performance?
Well, you've got a great lineup of people and you've got 3CR alumni doing the dramaturgy, Casey Benito as well.
Oh, Casey. Yeah, Casey's my musical dramaturg. So he was very good at saying this is where songs usually go in musicals because it's not as simple as now we do a song. It's you have to really, if you want it to be structured well, you've got to think about what's that song doing in the plot at that point. So he was really good at kind of clarifying what seems simple but is actually getting your foundations of your building. And then for my cast, what I found really interesting was I really wanted my four friends in the main cast to be open casting. So I didn't gender any of them because they're sort of loosely based on my group of friends growing up. And we were an odd bunch of gender diversity and sexuality and our ethnic backgrounds were very, because I grew up around outer suburbs of Melbourne, like near Dandenong sort of way. So it's that lower socioeconomic kind of a group of people who may not look like they'd all fit together, but have common interests, and whether it's film or culture or music or whatever. And that was very much my group of friends. So I wrote it with open demographics, which meant that I could, when I was casting it, I could say I genuinely don't know if this is a male or a female or a cisgendered or trans or it doesn't matter what colour you are. None of it actually matters. I just kind of want to see who is out there who might not get cast and stuff. Because I'm 51, so when I get thrown a brief for a musical by my agent, it's very rare that there's anything in there. So, and I've ended up with two non-binary people, two cisgendered women, one trans person, and one person of colour as well, and a spectrum of sexuality and gender. So I'm really pleased. They're an odd bunch and I love odd bunches.
You've always clearly been eclectic. When you were that eclectic kid out in the burbs, did you imagine yourself doing this stuff as an adult, as a 51-year-old?
A 51-year-old. Don't rub it in, James. I always wanted to perform. I was kind of a weird little – I used to tour plays around the classrooms in Wagga Wagga, where I was born in Wagga and we moved to Melbourne. So I used to make up plays and bring in like clothes from home as costumes and ask the teachers if I could do a little tour of the classrooms. Is that – you're looking at me like I'm weird. Didn't everybody do this?
No. I'm looking at you as if, you know, well, it's not surprising what you're doing.
Not really.
As soon as you said that, you're touring the classrooms doing shows. That suggests to me that everybody you went to school with would say they're always going to be a performer. They're always going to have the plastic axe, you know?
They did say that, but I also was heavily bullied. So I think I wanted to be a singer-songwriter mostly. I wanted to write my own stuff and perform my own songs. And then I sort of fell into acting and then the two merged in cabaret. And because Melbourne's got like, you know, one of the top, well, the biggest three comedy festivals in the Western world, the English-speaking world, it made sense. Fringe is very like that too, Melbourne or Adelaide or New Zealand or wherever, where a lot of us start by going, I'm going to register a show, I've got a title, I have a deadline, I'll work out the rest later.
So you fly by the seat of your pants.
Very much so. I'd love to stop flying by the seat of my pants. But also you definitely learn that you can solve a lot of problems. You can work stuff out. Like the worst stuff has happened to me before shows. Like
what?
Do you want to bring the mood down? Because usually I get, oh, we brought the mood down there. And my mother died last month.
Oh, Jesus.
My dad died before my show in 2024, like 9 days before I opened, which was about my brother who died while I was doing a show in 2019. So,
oh, Jesus.
And that's where your structure kind of it helps you. That's where you go, okay, we did this work and... And yeah, you can push yourself too far to the burnout side, and but you also go, all right, my mum would have wanted me to do this. My mum would have loved to see me write a musical. She probably thought cabaret was a little bit lowbrow, but I've got all this stuff in place. I've got this opportunity. I've got the Fringe Fund Starter Grant, which is a donor matching kind of gave me enough to go, yep, I can take a step. It's not funding the whole thing at all, but it was like, that's a safety net to start with. I feel confident to move forward, and this is something I want to do. I want to see if I can do this, and I am really proud of the songs that have bubbled up. Casey Bonetto, your alumni, has been checking in, sent me a text just yesterday morning going, how's it going, GQ? I sent him my last scene and he went, that's funny, it's good. And I'm like, that's all I need. I need that. Casey approval's good enough for me. I've got a great bunch of musicians, they're all local Melbourne musos, and I've got a really lovely cast. So as difficult as it's been with the personal circumstances, I've been doing this a long time, and I have got some very good people around me, and I will be very proud of myself to go, you wrote a musical, and it's about a bunch of people from the sorts of areas that I grew up just making something because it's fun. And I think more people should approach projects like that, whether they're in the arts or not. It's okay to go, I just want to do this because it's fun.
And heartfelt. I've got to ask, what's your favourite song and why?
My favourite, I have one. Yeah, I wrote it. So. But my favourite song in the show is called Horror Stories, and it's kind of the I want song. Do you know that phrase? The I want song in a musical?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like ABBA, you know, when Agnetha was really going for it. That's the...
No, within the musical context, it's the moment when a character explains what they want in the story. Sorry if I'm teaching anyone out there to suck eggs, but, you know, it's very a music theatery kind of a term, as I've discovered. But it's sung by one of my characters who's just singing about how they've always loved horror films because they make them feel a bit less wrong in the world. And I think that one of the reasons I love horror as a genre so much is reflected in why a lot of women and a lot of queer people really love horror, a lot of outside people who feel a bit outside of things, because the world can feel very scary to a lot of minorities. And the genre of horror as a part of human storytelling, I think, gives some of us a sense of the thrill with control, you know, without actual danger. And some of the most exciting people making horror films now are, you know, women, queer people, people of colour. There's great horror directors out there. And Australia too. Australia's making amazing horror films last 10 years especially, I think.
I love the hagsploitation genre, which was so clear, which of course was Bette Davis and Joan Crawford in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah.
Set that whole genre off. So it's not surprising that, you know, there's queerness happening in horror, which is something that's recently been reclaimed. And you're kind of at the forefront of it with this show, really.
I don't know about that. I think there's been a big uptick in kind of horror musicals. What I think, what I'm proud of with this one is it is an original idea. Like it is, I wanted to write a story that was local because I do really believe in local stories. And you can look at my back catalogue and you can purchase it if you want, because there's a lot of CDs under my bed and boxes, people. But I always like writing about not just Australia, but suburban Australia and those lower socioeconomic kind of areas of Australia, and also sort of kicking a bit against intellectual snobbery in Australia as well. I think the beautiful thing about any storytelling from a human point of view is that everyone's differences show us all, if it's a good story, show us everything that's the same about us. And Australia's had a big cringe about being the people that we are in all of our multifarious forms of Australianness, from Indigenous to newer kind of additions to this culture. And I think that that's a really, really rich tapestry of people, of human beings. And I think our landscape also lends a lot to the uniqueness of an Australian horror story as well. I think it's really exciting. I think we've been dismissed as storytellers in the modern world for a long time.
Are we seeing a backlash at the moment against intellectual snobbery or the perception of it? Is that why Hanson's one of the reasons why they're surging?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's true. But that's a different kind of intellectual snobbery. That's more an anti-intellectualism. I'm talking more about there's a danger on the other side if we go too far to, I'm better than you because I went to university or what have you. There's two sides to that coin. I'm not sure why we're talking about it when we're doing it. I'm talking about a horror comedy musical on Fringe. I don't want to get too far down this track. But, yeah, I just think that the more we listen to each other's stories and where we've come from, then the better we've got a chance to connect to each other as well. And maybe that's why I said it, like, in 2008 rather than in 2022, because I think that was an interesting cusp between when I was a teenager in the 90s and now. And now, I don't know. I don't know what I would write if it was set in 2020. I don't know. We'd all have to be older, because I definitely wanted the backstory to be in 1998. So I'd have to have a bunch of 50-year-olds in the cast, which is possible, but most of the 50-year-olds that I know, I haven't got enough money to afford them because, you know, they've got kids and stuff. Boring. Whatever.
Well, your wonderful show, Camper Van, an Ausploitation horror musical, is happening at Melbourne Fringe from October 7 to 11 in the Trades Hall Commons Room. Geraldine Quinn, it has been lovely to see you at 3CR. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure. 3CR.